salvation, wholeness, peace, prosperity, and divine health. These are all part of your inheritance. How long are you going to wait before taking possession of the promises that God has already given you? Everything that you need has already been placed within you. Let's go up at once and possess our inheritance, for we are well able to overcome it. In this new series, Possessing Our Inheritance, All Things Are Yours, Dr. Bill Winston teaches, as a child of the King, anything that is good, that will enhance your life and help you to fulfill your mission on this earth, you have a right to. Now is the time for the body of Christ to lay hold to the promises of God that are rightfully ours as heirs of God. Let's begin this series, Possessing Our Inheritance. All things are yours.
All right, I want to start reading in Romans chapter 4, starting reading at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that what? Be not as though they were. All right, now this teaching that I'm doing here is, only way I can describe it is a powerhouse, this teaching right here. Amen. Now you might not realize it yet, because it'll grab you somewhere along the line. But this is a teaching here that absolutely can change your life forever. Because it'll change the way you see not only yourself and your God, but it's the way you'll see your circumstances. And this is what we want to do. Now, I'm calling this Possessing Our Inheritance. That's the series. And this particular teaching today is called All Things Are Yours. That's what it's called. All right, let's work our way through this. Now, the opening scripture that I've been reading this scripture for a while in the series, but now let's go into it, understanding this new subtopic of All Things Are Yours. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. All right, let's break it down, because some of these words you know. Heir. What is an heir? Somebody who inherits something. Got that? Inherit. Somebody died, or somebody left you something in the will, and you got it. This Bible is the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This New Testament right here. Okay? Now, we have something called a better covenant. Better doesn't mean that I annihilate the first covenant. But the first covenant is the old covenant. What is a covenant? It's agreement. It's a promise. It's something contract between you and another party that you fulfill your part, they fulfill their part. The Jews were under this covenant called the old covenant. Jesus came and he established a new covenant. Now, what that means is you get the best of the old combined with the new. The new added to the best of the old. You with me? All right, now it's a will. Now, how many of you know sometimes somebody, some relative dies and some people, and they have a reading of the will. So they sit down and say, I, such and such, of sound mind, sound body, so forth, and I hereby this day and such a day designate this house over here and this property to so and so and so and so. Well, all of this is your will. All of this New Testament. And all you have to do is go in here and see what you have received by virtue of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've received that. That's yours. Now, it's legally written in heaven. Amen. So that means Jesus, who raised from the dead, seated at the Father's right hand, is now there probating the will. Amen. He's the one that's making sure you get your stuff. So he called me to be a preacher. Then by the Holy Spirit taught me so that I could teach you what belongs to you. Why? Because you got a thief out there called the devil. And he comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So if he, one of the things he tries to do, his greatest weapon is a weapon of ignorance. What does he try to do? He tries to keep you ignorant of what's yours in the will. And I dare say most folk who are in church don't even know what's in this Bible, let alone that it's theirs. Got it? So we're going to teach you what's yours. Now, one of the reasons why we're going to teach you what's yours is because that is the way you're going to operate. That's the attitude you're going to have in this earth. But the other reason why is because you're responsible for this earth. The church is responsible for this planet. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. Who's running the earth? The devil has been running it in the past. Now, listen to what I'm saying now. God is running the church. Watch this. The church should be running the devil, which should be now enforcing things in the world. Are you following what I'm saying? So where the enemy was running the world, especially in the Old Testament, because there were powers that he had in the Old Testament that he didn't have in the New Testament. Once Jesus died, paid for our sins, he stripped the devil of everything the devil stole. Amen. Are you with me? Now, y'all got to see this now because we got to start from somewhere. But let's go with me. Go to Genesis chapter 1. One more time. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. All right, let me know when you get to Genesis chapter 1. You can't miss it. Praise God. Say amen. All right, look what it says in verse 26. And God said. Say God said. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have what? Dominion. Over the what? Fish of the sea. Over the what else? Fowl of the air. Over what else? The cattle. And over how much of the earth? All the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God is making a man and woman, Adam and Eve, and putting them in dominion over this earth. Now, dominion has to do with the fact that you're in charge. God said, let us make man and let them have dominion. Listen at my words. Let us make man, let them have dominion. Here's my watch. Come on, Doc. All right. Well, I'm just playing now. Now, here's my watch. Am I right about it? So I got my watch and I say, hey, I'm going to give my watch to him. Praise God. There it is. Okay? Who's got the watch? Keep it where I can see it, Doc. Who's got the watch? Who's got the watch? He does. I did what to it? I gave it to him. Now, he's got it. Now, if I want to use that watch, what am I going to have to do? I'm going to have to ask his permission to use that watch because I gave it to him. For God to get back in the earth and do something, he's going to have to get your permission. And your permission is given through something called prayer. Prayer allows God to come back in and fix stuff that he's been wanting to fix all these years and couldn't fix it because he couldn't find nobody to pray. Amen. That's just to build your faith. You know what I'm talking about. All right, now. Let them have dominion. Let them have dominion. Okay? Over the fish, over the fowl, over the cattle, and over all the earth. God doesn't have it. You got it. Now, what did Adam and Eve do? They sold it out. What happened? God said, the day you eat that tree right there, you'll surely die. So don't eat of it. Don't eat of that tree. What did Eve do? She let the devil talk to her. She went and did something and ate of that tree and then gave it to Adam and he ate of it. Watch this. The Bible says in the New Testament, she was deceived. What does deceived mean? Tricked. It means she thought she was helping out. She didn't know she was eating Adam out of house and home. And now, I shouldn't say it like that. But she didn't know that she was violating and all of this was going to happen. But Adam knew. But yet he still ate. Are you following what I'm saying? So one man said it like this. The only way Satan could have gotten in and taken over that garden is because Adam never took ownership. Never took ownership. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's why I told y'all one Sunday when my wife wasn't here, I own that woman. Bless God. Are you following what I'm saying? But watch this. She owns me. And I'm only saying that the enemy has been running loose because people haven't taken ownership. Now then we went to Luke chapter 4. Come on over there with me, please. Luke chapter 4. Look what it said in verse 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, talking to Jesus now, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that it is delivered unto me, and to whosoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. So he's saying here, hey, see all this here? All these kingdoms that were given to me. Was he right or wrong? He was right. He was right. He didn't say they were rented to me. He said they were loaned to me. He said they were given to me. Now, I'll give them to you if you will worship me. And that's been the devil's ploy ever since. That's where he gets people to serve him. He promised them some good. Said, if you just bow down and do what I tell you, I'll make you rich. See? Now, hold it. Now you got to resist. You got to say, okay, wait. He said, wait a minute. Get thee behind me, Satan. For I shall work for the Lord thy God, and him only shall I serve. Amen. Now, what was he playing on? He was playing on his thinking that Jesus was power hungry. Come on, preacher. See, there are people that are power hungry. Me. What do they want to do? Rule over other folk. They want other people to look up to them. Are you following what I'm saying? It's power hungry, man. Those people can be tempted. But Jesus wasn't. Jesus knew that the Father sent him here to establish a whole new government. And that he would not take a chance on letting the devil turn it over to him with no fight. See, he knew for him to get this earth back, he was going to have to take it. But he was going to have to do it by faith. Say amen to this, homie. So here, Jesus turned him down, but now Jesus got to go to the cross. He's got to do all these things and go to the cross, be raised from the dead, now open combat with the devil, take everything back, now pass everything on to you and me. So mankind's got it again.
Amen.
So now it's in your hands.
Come on.
I'm talking about his church. I'm not talking about the devil's bunch. I'm talking about passing it on to the church. Now, who is the church? The church is an indestructible, unstoppable institution in the world. It is here to establish one thing, the government of the kingdom. And it's here to let people know who God really is. Because they have been thinking that God is this, he's a whooper, he's a killer, he's so forth and so on. No, he's love. Come on, God is peace. God is joy. God is kindness. Okay? That's part of our job in here. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, for you to get anything out of what I'm saying here in this series of teachings, There's a scripture that you're going to have to believe. Turn to it. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let me know when you get there. All right. Over in Romans chapter 3, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Watch this. Yea, let God be what? True. Keep going. Let every man be a lie. I've gone over that before, but I'm establishing it one more time. Because I'm going to read something. And what I'm reading, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to make a decision to believe what I just read over what your feelings just told you. You're going to have to make a decision to believe what I just read over what you feel about it. You're going to have to make a decision to believe what I just read or what I'm reading, even though you don't see it in this natural world. Are y'all with me? Let God be what? True. And every man be a what? Liar. All right. Now we said something. We said that there was a group that came out of Egyptian bondage called Israelites, the people of God. But they got into the wilderness and sent out 12 spies to spy out the land of Canaan. They spied it out and came back. And when they came back, some of them, 10 of them, had what is known as an evil report. And they said something. They said, hey, we went and spied out the land. That the land is there. Say the land is there. The land is flowing with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They brought back grapes the size of grapefruits. Are you with me? Then they said, now, y'all stay with me. They said, but the walls are tall. Come on over here. Come on over to Numbers, please. Numbers. The book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. Now listen. This what I'm preaching may bring out some haters. Now, I'm not going to say it does. It will, but it just may. And the reason why is because I'm giving you ammunition to make a hostile takeover. Did you just follow that right there? See? I'm talking about the violent take it what? By force. See? Now, I ain't talking about hitting nobody over the head and stealing nothing. But I'm saying you're going to take it by faith. But it may be a hostile takeover. That they may not be totally willing to give it up. But that don't make no difference. If God says it's yours and he's willing to get in there to help you get it, it's a done deal, friend. I might write a book on that, The Hostile Takeover. Because I feel like taking something right now. All right, what did I tell you to turn? Numbers. All right, look at Numbers chapter 13. Now watch this. Watch them getting into some unbelief. Now watch this now. These are 10 spies. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities of all and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. They dwell in the mountains, and in the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. Ho, ho, ho. Now, whoa now. These people might have been twice their size, maybe even bigger. And I'm telling you, there were giants in the land. If you know anything about the giants, you're talking about those people. Goliath even had brothers. And they talk about how big his bed was. The bed was 18 feet long. That's a good-sized brother. and talk about how heavy his spear was and all that kind of stuff. These are some good-sized men. So in the natural, you stand up beside one of them, you might say, Why? Because you're looking at it in your own strength. Say amen to that. But anybody who knows, who's on God's side, hey, wait a minute, God's going to fight my battles for me. Well, can't nobody whoop God. So why don't we go up at once and possess it? Well, what happened? They began to spout off all this unbelief. Watch this. They were preachers. And they preached to the congregation, watch this, the facts. But the facts were different from the truth. Now, are you following what I'm saying? So now the congregation has got a choice. Are they going with the facts from these 10 spies? Or are they going to go with the truth from these 2 spies? Which way did they go? Come on, which way did they go? I'm saying when you go and get this thing and something happens to your body, you got 2 ways to go.
That's right. Come on. That's right.
You got to hear what I'm saying, folks. If it was easy, everybody would be making the right decision. But the pressure comes in on your mind, man. The thing don't look right, so forth. Well, I think I'm going to do this, so forth and so on. What are you reacting out of? You're reacting out of the facts, out of your own experiences. Well, I know Aunt so-and-so, she had that and she died and so forth. And all that starts playing in your mind and the pressure comes on you. And now what decision are you going to make? But God said, let God be what? True, and every what? Man be a liar. If he's not saying what the word of God says, then he's a liar. And God said, no man will be able to stand before Bill Winston all the days of his life. That's what God said about me. Now, I'm going to tell you, you want some of this, just come on, get it, because I got God's word on it. Listen, you wait till I show you what's backing you up. See, because the people of God are so intellectual. Wow. Look here. Let me show you something. Put something right there and go with me to Colossians. I'm going to take a side trip. Colossians chapter 2, real quick. Colossians chapter 2. I don't care how big they are. What did they say? The bigger they are, the harder they fall, Jack. Come on, I'm talking about a hostile takeover. Colossians chapter 2. Look what it says here in verse 8. Now, watch this now. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the what? Tradition of men, after the what? Rudiments of the world, come on, and not after Christ. Now, let me read this now out of another translation, Amplified. Here's what it says. I wrote it in my Bible. Now, see my Bible? I put a page, see how I put a sticky in there? That's what stickies were made for. They were made for the Bible. But see, you can do that because it helps to bring more faith, more clarity, more understanding. See, now let me read it to you out of Amplified. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or make you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies, and plain nonsense, following the rudiments and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? So it said, watch out now. Don't let nobody start using big words on you. Come on, you better hear what I'm saying. Folks, I've been in service. I remember, that's why I didn't get much out of church. I was there, and I sit in that sermon, and I'd walk out of there and say, now, what did he say? I mean, he was using the hermeneutics, and we have some hermeneutics, and want to get some jibbly-blops, and...
And the next, and now I'm not making fun, but that's these preachers. They came back and preached some stuff that had philosophy to it, but it wasn't the truth. And if you are not vigilant and you don't watch your mind, that stuff will convince you that they know what they're talking about. And they didn't know nothing. Excuse me for hollering, but I'm excited about this, boy. This is a hostile takeover. I'm ready. I'm going to fight. And so what happened now? Here, these others, they said the truth. Now watch what happened. Turn the numbers, back to numbers again. And let's go back to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. All things are yours. You ready? Now, I won't read this, but the people thought about stoning, now I can't say that stoning today, killing the two that spoke the truth. And that shows you how much congregations hate the truth. If they have been locked in their tradition, and you come in with the truth, you better come in either bringing a lunch or a shield. Because I'm telling you, they something happens, especially religious folk. Folks, religion kills folk. This is not religion. Jesus didn't come to bring religion. I've come that you might have religion. He didn't say that. He said, I've come that you might have what? Life. He came to bring a kingdom. He came to bring a government. He didn't come to bring no religion. This ain't religion. There's plenty of religion here when Jesus got here. Folks were worshiping snakes and everything else. That's religion. Religion is what the KKK had. Come on, that's religion. Religion kills folks. Jesus didn't say nothing about religion. He said life. Christianity is a life. It's God living inside of you. Christianity is the only faith, if I can use that word, that where the one who's worshiped lives inside of the worshiper. And you can't find that nowhere. Say amen to that. All right, now watch this. What happened to him? Now, I'll tell you, everybody's not going to like this message, so I'm not going to say everybody likes this message. So don't be concerned if your neighbors don't look like they're having fun. Now, I'm telling you, don't be concerned about it because they're under bondage. I remember a guy that got up and prophesied one time, prophesied doom on me. I cut it off. I said, I cut that off. I cancel that in the name of Jesus. I said, we don't believe that, do we, congregation? No, and so forth and so on. And he got up and hobbled on out. I was down there at Lake of Palacio, sure did. So the enemy hates truth, because the truth will, it'll make you free. All right? And don't let the devil run you out. Tell him, go sit in the car, and you'll be out there directly. Look what it says here. Look what it says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 37. Look at it. Come on, look at it. Verse 37, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the what? Plague, come on, before the Lord. They died early. The ones that came up with unbelief died early. And unbelief will lead you to an early death. Now let's go further, because I want you to clarify that. Let's go to Psalm 90, 90, Psalm 90. Look at verse 10 now. The days of our years are 70. How much is 70? Okay, a score is 20 years. So if I have 70, that's 60 years, and 10 is 70. Watch this. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, how many years is that? 80 years. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we do what? Fly away. So you get people and they preach the fact that we should live 70 to 80 years. Whoa. Let's go into Amplified Translation and let's just see, is that the whole truth? Because in the Amplified, it says this in Psalm chapter 90, and verse 10, Let's start reading at verse 9 so that I could get an understanding of the setting of this scripture. Watch this. For all our days out here in the wilderness, this wilderness, says Moses, pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, for we adults know we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan. The days of our years are 70 years. Now, wait a minute. Who was this scripture, verse 10, written for? It was written for people who came out of Egypt and didn't believe. Come on. The truth of God's word, that this land was their land and God had given it to them and they could take it. They were the people who were in unbelief. This was not meant for you. That scripture was for the disobedient. Their days are shortened. Are you with me here? Now, I'm saying that because God wants you to live long and strong. Are you with me? All right. All right, now, let's go to Joshua and Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. Now, notice what I'm having you to do. Go through this with me. Because some people go to church and all they hear is a homily or a nice sermon and so forth. I'm not doing that. You need to grow up. You need to know how to handle this Bible yourself and take back what God has promised you. Say amen to that. I don't need to do all your praying for you. You need to do your own praying. And so I'm going to grow you up in here. I'm not looking for a bunch of followers. I'm looking to make some leaders in here. Okay? All right, look what it said in verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man, underline any man, please. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. All right. God said that he had given this land to Israel. He described the dimensions of it, meets and bounds. And then he said, there's not any man who'll be able to stand before you. There were people on the land. But God says, I've given it to you. Now that's worth something. There were people on it. But that didn't faze God at all. I said, Israel is yours. Now, the Canaanites were on it. Let's look at some of the people who were on that land. Could you put something right there on that page, please? Okay. And look at Deuteronomy and chapter 7. Now, what am I after right now? What am I trying to do right now? What am I after doing? I want to change your thinking. I want to change your thinking. That's what I'm after. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is it. Look what it says here in verse 1 of chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations, watch this, greater and mightier than you are. God even says that. Didn't he say it? So that's a fact. But God says, I'm going to cast them out. I'm going to dispossess them. They are bigger and stronger than you, but I have given you their land. Everything that is on that land, I have given to you. Whether it be businesses, whether it be companies, whether it be whatever else could be in terms of wealth on that land, I've turned it over to you. You got it. Now, he's doing that for a reason. And when he turned it over to him, one of the things about that land is it was the best land. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 8, please. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and look at verse 7. For the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the good land, a good land, underline good land, and the land of brooks and water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without what? Scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has what? He has given unto you. Keep going up here. Beware that thou forget not the Lord God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, watch this, and hast built what? Goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thou herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy what else? Silver, keep going, and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up. Thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So notice what he said. I caution you. This land is so good until I caution you not to forget about me when you drive that luxury car, when you sleep in that 7-bedroom home. Come on. I'm asking you, don't forget about me when you get into the billion flow. Don't forget about me, because something will happen if you start forgetting about me. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's a caution to all of us. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, let me tell you, some people think, well, you get that riches and you'll leave God and so forth. Whoa. The riches isn't the thing that make you leave God. Come on. It you have a will, and you have a will to either use this for the good, you have a will to use it for the evil. Say amen to that. But just because it has power to it, don't, God is still giving it to you. He's still saying, hey, wait a minute, I still want you to have it. Say amen to that. Amen. Folks, I can pray so much better in a nice home, come on, than I could back there in that efficiency apartment that when I wake up, I see everybody sleeping around me, including the refrigerator running. Now, I'm saying somehow I can just praise God in my study. See, I'm saying that's your business. He is saying don't forget about me, because it's your own mind. It's not the riches that'll make you leave God. It's loving the riches. Say amen to this. I mean, what do you want God to do? Just keep you broke all the time and keep you know what I mean? Folks, that is not the way to live. But the challenge is, if you do get the new car, will you come to church? I'm talking about paid for. Will you come to church, or will you make up an excuse you got to take your auntie to the store? I mean, are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying this is a challenge for all of us, but that's not going to stop, make God change his word. Amen. He's still going to give the land to them. And folks, it's the best land. Let me read you the word best. The word best comes from the Hebrew word tob. Say tob. T-O-W-B. It means best. It means better. It means beautiful. It means favor. It means prosperity. It means wealth. God wants the best for his family. Now, if somebody has a problem with that, that's their problem. And I found out something anyway. When, you know, when somebody get mad at me driving my car, they ain't mad at my car, they're mad at theirs. They mad at that, it's their car they're mad at. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Come on, come on. Look what it said in verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Now, who said this? The Apostle Paul. Where'd he get it from? He got it from God. He didn't get it from them people around him because they didn't know this. But he got it from God. And he put it in the New Testament as a part of your will. Now, watch what he said now. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, whether the world or life or death, whether things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ and Christ is God's. Now, watch this. All right, turn with me. He said, all things are yours. Didn't he say all things are yours? Now, what he said, he didn't say all spirituals are yours. But if you notice, anything that's natural was spiritual first. Because it was in the mind of somebody before it got to be natural. Am I right about it? Okay. So what is he saying is you don't go around indiscriminately trying to grab something from somebody and bully in the schoolyard. But if there's anything beneficial about it, anything that'll enhance your life, anything that'll aid in your mission or your assignment, you have a right to it. I said, you have a right to it. And watch this. You take it by faith. A guy named Lester Summerall had, I was told this story, had a situation where he had a TV station. It was over in his area that was broadcasting a lot of filth. And he got tired of it. He called a friend up from the South, from Texas or somewhere. And they said, we're going to close that station. He went out there. They pointed at that station. They commanded that station to shut down and come over into their hands. Within 1 year, that station went bankrupt or closed and came over into the ministry. And he started broadcasting the gospel out of it. Now, wait a minute. He didn't go over there, hold nobody up, didn't do nothing. He just spoke words. Why? Because he figured out that he's responsible for this earth. You see, if you're responsible for it, you're going to be held accountable for it. Are you with me? That God is going to hold us accountable for what's going on. And what happened? Brought it into the ministry and broadcast the gospel with it. Now, that's a hostile takeover. Because he didn't do it, God did it. But he did it because he was honoring Lester Summerall's ownership. He said, no, we're not going to have this. How about Benson Idahosa? He walks in a TV station in Africa and he told the people, he said, I'd like to put my gospel program on this television station. Here's what they said. He went and got the general manager. She came back out and said, I would rather for the devil himself to put his station, his program on there than you put yours. He took two steps back, and this is what he said. You're fired. Within 1 week, she was without a job. I'm talking about hostile takeover. I'm talking about I am fed up with placating the devil and putting up with his mess over and over and over again. I'm fed up with it. This money that's being used for stuff that is contaminating this whole earth and got kids acting crazy and got folks holding up, beating up heads, gangs doing this and so forth. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. The devil got to give it up. And it's going to start with that money. And he got that money and I want it. I want every dime he's got. I don't want to leave him with nothing. So if you on his side, you better get off, because I'm getting what you got. I've changed my mind about putting up with mess that ain't got nothing to do with God. This ain't the devil's world. He never should have taken them Bibles out of that school, and they going back in them schools. And all this mess that's going on, this marriage and this same-sex marriage, this stuff's got to stop. I am tired of it, and I ain't gonna put up with it no longer. Let me tell you something. I ain't looking for you to agree with me. I ain't looking for you to try to give me no attaboys and cup of coffee. I'm going to let God be true and every man be a liar. If it ain't in that book, it's got to line up. Come on now. I'm saying that this earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what you got is you got a bunch of punk preachers that won't preach the truth, and you got a bunch of weak-kneed, weak-back members that won't stand up for nothing, but they'll fall for anything. We got to stop this. And I'm going to be on the line, and I'm going to stop it. I ain't trying to be popular with nobody, but I'm going to be popular in heaven. I told you, I'm going to have one of the biggest mansions up there, because I'm going to get what I'm supposed to get. Not only here, but up there. Say amen to this. I see it when some people don't like what I'm talking about, but you ain't got to like what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is for people who believe. It ain't for the unbeliever. This truth has never been popular with unbelievers. If you on the fence, you better get off, because the fence is going to go away. Either you're going to be good or evil. Either you're going to be right or wrong. And if I was you, I'd get right before I get left, because God is about to take care of his people. Man, you see what's happening with this economy? There is judgment coming, and it's coming on Babylon, who has stolen money from people, taken it by fraud, misused all the people's money, kept the poor poor, wouldn't help nobody. Let me tell you, God is transferring wealth. You ain't seen nothing yet. You watch that market. This is judgment time. But when the world goes down, the church goes up. I said, all things are yours. It's time out for us taking the church fan and fanning in church, trying to keep warm with a funeral home fan, and they down at the club in air condition. I mean, they just booging with air condition. And y'all, praise the Lord. Them days are over, saints. We ain't selling no chicken dinners up in here. There ain't enough chickens in Illinois to do what God called me to do. Making some millionaires in this place. It's going to be loaded with millionaires. It is loaded with millionaires. No, they ain't going to have no air conditioning in the nightclub, and we still got church fans. There's something wrong with that picture, Jack. We got to flip that script. Because these are God's people here. And they're supposed to get the best land. Anybody's supposed to have air conditioning, you're supposed to have it. Come on now. So don't be trying to judge me. I came here with $200, no place to stay, didn't have nothing. Nobody helped me, nobody was with me. Come on. I'm telling you, where were you then? Every step of the way I had to believe God. Every step of the way. Went and got a car, trying to buy debt-free, went to an auction, bought the car. On the way back, the car started smoking so bad, up through the thing, I had to roll the window down and stop the car. The thing got almost got asphyxiated in the car. Here I'm trying, you follow what I'm saying? I'm trying to get the gospel to you. I said, this is a hostile takeover. Whether they want it or not, we're taking over. I said, we are taking over. The devil has had his day. It is now time for the people of God. Everybody else coming out the closet, you come on out. Come on out. I said, come on out. All right, come on. I'm just one more thing. Let's just look at our minds now. This is the way we look at things. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, please. That woman who lost her job, Benson Itahosa, was riding. His chauffeur was driving him on the road. And a month later, he saw her walking. He said, isn't that the lady? And he said, back up. Backed up, picked the lady up, got her born again in the car, filled her with the Holy Ghost, and took her to the local church, and she got a job. I'm just telling you, wait a minute. Don't come up against God's people. Because we're about to take over. It's going to be a hostile takeover. I'm not saying hate anybody. You don't need to hate anybody. But this is the law of eminent domain. It is needed for the kingdom. And whoever's on the property got to go. I said, got to go. It's good stuff, isn't it? Verse 26. I'm telling you, you know, people are waiting on somebody to rise up and say, we are well able. I know everybody's not going to like it because certain people are just happy with compromise. Verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth what? Travail. To gather and to what? Heap up that he might what? Give to him that is what? Good. Before God. See what he's saying here now. Here's the deal. The sinner has a ministry. There it is right there. His ministry is to stay up night and day and heap up. Bring it all in. Put it in as many bank accounts as he can get it in. Why? He's working for me. Why? Because I have ownership.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now it says the wealth of the sinner is laid up for who? The just. Question. How long are we going to leave it laid up? The days for church fans is over. You need an air conditioner. You need a real heater. I'm just saying, the money is laid up for you, not from you.
Yes.
Call it in.
Yes.
I said, call it in. Folks, we're going to teach this. Because money coming. See, the paradigm was you going after money. Wrong thinking. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Y'all with me?
Yes.
All the way. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 28. Now, money cometh is in the Bible. I didn't know it was in there. But it is in there. And it's found over in 2 Kings chapter 12 and verse 4. Money cometh. Where does it come? To me. When? Now. I don't need to leave it held up any longer. Where did I tell you to turn? Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right. Let's see what it says. Don't go after money. That's the wrong way to look at it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Money cometh after you. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God shall set thee, what? High above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you, and what? Overtake you, if you just hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, no. It made us think that we have to run after money. But money is coming after you. All you got to do is change your thinking now. See, we've been thinking wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is it. It'll happen to you just like you think it. Last place, look what it says in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Let me know when you get there. Verse 5, you with me? There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with who? Moses. I'm going to be with who? You. I will not what? Fail you, keep going, or forsake you. How was God with Moses? It tells you how he was with Moses in Exodus chapter 23. It tells you how he was with Moses. Look at Exodus chapter 23. If you haven't said, praise the Lord. Come on. Look what it said in verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you. Now, this is the way he's with Moses. To keep you in the way and to bring you, come on, into the place where I prepared. Beware of him now and obey his voice. Come on, do what? Provoke him not. For he will not what? Pardon your transgressions. For my what? My name is in him. Look at verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. I will be an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel shall go before you and what? Bring you into the what? Amorites, come on. The Hittites, come on. The Perizzites, come on. The Canaanites, come on. The Hivites, come on. The Jebusites, and what'll I do to them? I'm gonna cut them off. But here's the deal. My angels don't provoke them, cause they won't forgive you. How can I provoke angels? I can provoke angels by speaking unbelief. I can provoke them by saying something God didn't say. And when I do that, they step back, they fold their hands and watch the Perizzites and the Hivites beat you over your head. Now, what you need is you need deliverance, because they're tall, they're great, you can't win without them. So what you do is speak God's word. No matter what it looks like, say the word of God, because the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. His word is in the book. You give voice to it, angels are ready to move. And let me tell you, there's some big boys in there. As a matter of fact, one angel over in Kings slayed 140,000 men. One angel is going to chain up Satan and pull him in the pit. I'm telling you, they know what they're doing. Here's what Jesus said to those people who wanted to destroy him. He said, wait a minute now. I'm letting you take me into custody. If I wanted to, I could pray to my Father and he will send how many legions? 12 legions of angels. 72,000 angels, and they will tear this place up. I'm telling you right now, you got angels that are packed in here right now, because it's time for war. It's time for a hostile takeover. And when you say money cometh, angels go. And they know where every dime is hidden. They know where every piece of gold is deposited. And they will gather it up and bring it to the one who believes. Now, that's another realm. That's a realm you can't see, feel, touch, taste, and smell.
That's right.
But remember, they didn't take the land because of unbelief. You're not an unbeliever. You are operating in a realm right now, from this day forward, that you can't see, feel, touch, taste, or smell, but you know it's there. Why? Because let God be true. And he said, the angels of the Lord encamp around about you, and they'll keep you in all your ways. If he said it, do you believe it?
Yes, I do.
Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Say, I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter. Bless you, God.
For further information, please contact us at 708-697-5000 or online at www.bwm.org. To view a live worship service, log on to our website, Sundays at 11:15 a.m. and at our Wednesday night service at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. Until next time, keep walking by faith.